Very well. Good morning. Welcome once again to Open Door Baptist Church, the men's prayer, breakfast, and devotion. Today is the last day of January, January 31st, 2012. Title of today's devotion is We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. We're going to hit a little bit on the First Thessalonians, but then we're going to end up on Second. That's where I want to be anyway. And so I'm going to go ahead and sing this song here, by the way. Not. I'll just read it. I won't attempt to do no singing. Y'all all heard this, ain't it? From your days of past. O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the summons come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conducts me home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. Amen. Well, that gives you something to look forward to, don't it? Okay. First Thessalonians is taking place in Thessalonica, as we all know. But over in Acts 17, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read that for you. It kind of gets you in the mood of what's going on here. 17, verse 1 through 4. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, talking about Paul and Silas and Timothy. And this was, if you remember, this was just after that they was in jail, and the earthquake came and rattled the doors loose, and of course it busted them out, you know, and they was in jail, certainly for preaching and teaching the word of God, and the jailer got saved. Y'all remember that story? This was just after that. Verse 2 says, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and on three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scripture. He discussed the Scripture with them. Opening and alleging, he was explaining that Christ must needs have had suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. Amen. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Some of them accepted him, obviously, and some didn't. Always going to be opposition to God's word in there, to the preaching and teaching of God's word. First Thessalonians was written by Paul after he'd left Thessalonica, and he was in preaching, as I just read, in the synagogues on three different occasions, and he was preaching to them out of the Old Testament, and what he was teaching, what I just read, that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Some of the Jews and the Greeks believed him, and some didn't. As in most cases, and it got to the point later on where it got a little violent there, violent persecution, the Scripture says. And so Paul said, well, for my own safety, I better get out of here. So he left. He fled. He got away from all that stuff. And So later on, Timothy had written him a letter and told him of the positive, the defect that he had on a lot of the people there, you know, that his message of faith and love said they really liked that, and they developed an admiration and a love for Paul during he was just there with them for a little while. But anyway, as we say here in the South, they took a liking to him pretty quick. And so 1 Thessalonians, this is a letter, we've all read it, you know, and it's right personal, it's touching and intimate letter that he wrote to him, and he was kind of bragging on him, exhorting them, so to speak, and commending them for staying steadfast in their beliefs and their firm commitment to the truths that he had taught them. And a lot of it was about, as y'all know from reading this, about the Lord's return, and they need to keep working until Jesus comes. And even he even offered them comfort in the times of death, as well as in life, as in daily life. Let me read a couple of verses here in 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13. This is we can use this for our text here, so to speak, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you, thank you, Jesus, unto his kingdom and glory. He called us, didn't he? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, amen, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Yes, indeed. Okay, the second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul discovered that the people, when he was there again in his visit, that he was preaching a lot about the hope of that we all have of Christ's return and coming back to getting us, so to speak. But some of the folks there, they got a little confused. It says, in Christ's return, because they thought it was going to be this evening, so to speak. They thought it was going to be right away, you know, and they was kind of worried that they didn't get a chance to serve the Lord in their newfound life, in their new life as a Christian. And they certainly didn't want to fail after they got saved, you know. They didn't want to failed some, as we all do, but we can keep trying, though, can't we? So he had to write this letter to kind of to change the attitude, change their outlook, and they need a little correcting here. So Paul he had to remind them of his previous teachings and pointing out all the signs, the conditions that prevail, that was there when the Lord returns. He told them about lawlessness, how it abounds, and here again, this was in biblical times, but we can look at that today, can't we? But by the same token, he teaches them to remain active in the work as Christians and all their responsibility as he's instructed them in 1 Thessalonians. But at the same time, need to be always alert to, and ever watching. The Bible tells us that Christ could come back anytime, couldn't he? He could and he may and could. So, that'll give us something to look forward to too, don't it? Okay, 2 Thessalonians, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, Paul and Silas, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith growing exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. There's always going to be persecutions, isn't there, when you're serving the Lord. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Amen. Sin is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Right. Philippians 1:28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, of destruction, but to you of salvation and that of God. Also in Revelation, they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O God? Hurry up. They're impatient just like we are. Then when, how long, O God, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Amen. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In flaming fire, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the Bible, not the good news, who obey not. Remembering Job 21, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Oh boy, they knew what they was in store for me to get saved today, wouldn't they? Now, wouldn't they? But when they find out, it'd be too late, wouldn't it? Revelation 14, and I, we all know I was John, saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on earth, and every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people, everybody. Again, Hebrews verse 8 starts out, you know, in flaming fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a fire, don't he? Our God is a consuming fire. Yes, sir, amen. Who shall be punished, verse 9, with everlasting destruction. Everlasting, that means there ain't no end to it. Oh boy, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There's hell right there, ain't it? Excuse excuse me, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Philippians 3, 18, 19, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and their glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Earthly thing, oh boy. 2 Peter 3, 7, but the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. Of the ungodly men, the ones that ain't saved yet. Romans 2, 9 as well, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's when we all get together, isn't it? That's when we all get together. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. John 17, all mine are thine and all thine are mine. I am glorified in them. Amen. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Oh, this is in Psalms, 68. Oh God, thou art terrible, terrible meaning awesome in this case, out of thy holy place, the holy temple. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Amen. Wherefore, verse 11, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Verse 12, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, ye in him. It works both ways there, don't it? According to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. The world was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Come on, Lord, don't it? We moved on. Amen. Chapter 2. This was written, as we said earlier, to instruct the people that there'll be a gathering together unto him that's gonna come a little bit. It's gonna proceed, so to speak, the day of the Lord. And read that for you. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Let me read a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 4. 14-17. You might have heard this before. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We won't go ahead of them folks that's passed away already, have we? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, remember verse 15, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. Then we'll go up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, boy. Wherefore cometh one another with these words. Amen. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So all this green stuff, these green people talking about, it may be all right for now, but it's gonna be gone in the end, isn't it? Revelation 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army as well. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there become a falling away. First, a falling away, the apostasy, isn't it? 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, telling lies, speaking lies. Well, let's just go right over here to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And let's just find out who these folks is. This also know that in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come. Hard to bear times shall come. Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They're greedy, they're proud, they're arrogant, ain't they? Ungrateful, disobedient, profane. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They have no love for others. They refuse to forgive anybody. They talk about others to hurt them. They have no self-control, do they? They're cruel and they hate everything that's good. Verse 4 says, traitors, heavy-headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They turn against the friends, don't they? They do foolish things without thinking. They're proud. They're proud of themselves rather than and loving God, and they love pleasure instead. All the worldly stuff. This is the worldly stuff. verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They pretend to be devoted to God, but you certainly can't see no change in the lifestyle. Bible says to keep a distance from them, and from such turn away, it says. Well, this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, with their evil desires, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never getting anything, going through the motion, so to speak. And I think, if we remember correctly, this was preached to us here in our own church. All of this is because of S-I-N. Because of sin. That's the reason for all that, isn't it? We've been preaching that before, certainly. Also, we're going to talk in this same verse here in verse 3. We're going to talk a little bit about the Antichrist and that man of sin in the latter part of verse 3. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction here, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. My learning got a lot of nerve. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Great words being big fat lies, ain't it? And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and time and the dividing of time. And that'll be 3.5 years, won't it? I mean, when you go to time and time and dividing of time. Isaiah 14, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. Of course, this is Antichrist here talking. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend to the heights. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But if you read one more verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's what's going to get him, ain't it? Thou shalt be brought down to hell. Thus saith the Lord, Ezekiel 2:28, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. You think you are, yet thou art a man. You ain't God. You are a man and not God. Amen. Though thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. He's doing a little dreaming there, ain't he? Verse 13. Jump a little bit here. But we are bound to give you thanks always to God for you, brethren, loved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. We all remember where we was, don't we? All remember where we used to be, don't we? And God chose us. We wasn't thinking about him. We were running with the devil, wasn't we? But he chose us out of that. Thank you, Jesus. Chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 1 Timothy 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received into glory. Amen. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation for good hope through grace. Thank the Lord for his grace. Where would we be without the Lord's grace? 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Exceedingly abundant means more than enough, don't it? He always gives us more than we give him, don't we? also, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. He loved us first, didn't he? He loved us first. When we was out acting like a bunch of idiots, he was still loving us. He loved us while we was sinning, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, he loved us so much that John 3:16, didn't he? That he gave his son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting. He gave his son for us. Chapter 3, about done. He worked and prayed. We'll work till Jesus comes. Chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, do they? Not everybody, as Paul and Timothy and Silas learned when they hit the Thessalonica, all men didn't have faith, all men didn't believe like he did. Amen. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, who shall strengthen you, and keep you from evil. Good for us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct my heart to the love of God. I just throw that in there. See, it's yours, don't I? Just mark that out and put mine in there so we keep my... Your heart to the love of God. Mine and your heart to the love of God and to the patient waiting. Oh boy, here we go. Patient waiting for Christ. Oh my, the patient waiting for Christ. That's hard on us, ain't it? We want it right now, don't we? John 17:15. I pray not that they, this is Jesus talking, this whole John 17, this whole Jesus is all that's a prayer. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. This is the people of the world. This is his followers. But that thou shouldest keep them safe, keep them from evil, keep them safe from evil. Sanctify them. Through thy truth, thy word is the truth, isn't it? Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. If they're not paying attention to us, you say. Romans 16:7. Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause division. and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Oh boy. Avoid them. 1 Thessalonians 4, study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle, by word or by letter. Anybody that's contrary to the, to this teaching is telling us to stay away. Isn't it? Anything that's contrary other than this. Scripture says avoid them, doesn't it? verse 11. For we hear that there are some talk which some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Oh, my goodness. Working not at all. near do well. Anybody ever near do well? Somebody, they don't want to work at all. They just want to take kind of the easy route. Want to get a paycheck, but don't want to do too much work. Want somebody else. Spend a lot of time looking busy than being busy, don't they? That's what near do well is. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busy body. And here's what they are, in other men's matters. They're always meddling and tending to somebody else's business, they used to say. In other men's matters, 1 Timothy 5, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers. Tattlers being gossipers. Afraid of gossip. Also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Oh boy. Jump down 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Don't get tired serving the Lord, do we? You may get your paycheck later for that. You don't need to look and worry about no paycheck. Just keep working. Keep working till Jesus comes, what the Bible tells us, doesn't it? But you, brethren, do not be weary in well-doing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, growing in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain when you're working for the Lord. May in vain be in vain if you're near do well and you ain't hitting on nothing. But your labor is not in vain doing the Lord's work. James 5, be patient. Oh boy. Be patient. Here we go again. To the coming of the Lord. How do you get patience? Somebody once said, how you get patience? Wait for it. Wait on it. Yes, the Lord give you patience. And he said, okay, wait till I get back. That's what it said. Wait patiently, therefore, brethren, till the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits, the farmer of the earth, and has long patience before it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Brother Tim mentioned that early rain in his only garden experience this past Sunday, didn't he? You got to be patient with the garden. It don't shoot up next day after you plant it, does it? You don't get tomato sandwiches the next day after you put them in the ground. You have to wait a little while, don't you? Have to wait patiently for them. Pardon me. Verse 11 of James 5. And behold, we count them happy which endure. it's worth that wait when you get them big old red tomatoes and make that sandwich in. And you done waited a little while. It's worth it when you see them things come out and turn red. And say, oh, boy, give me that thing. I go to the store and get some lettuce and bacon here. I want that. We're going to have BLTs for supper. Count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. But then you got patience of Job in your and has seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. Pitiful meaning compassionate and of tender mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for your tender mercy. We don't have tender mercy a lot of times, do we? Let alone compassion. 14. And if a man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Remember verse 6, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. But it goes on, verse 15 says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In Leviticus 19, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Sound like one of the top 10, don't it? Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Love thy neighbor as thyself, not an enemy. And finally, verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So, finally, we see that Thessalonica, it was a pretty big city then in Macedonia. And by the way, it was the capital of that province. It was a pretty good size. Paul and Silas and Timothy was there preaching the gospel against the opposition of the Jews. but in spite of the opposition, they kept on, and they were successful in establishing a church, as a matter of factly. First Thessalonians 1:8. Go to more little verses here and we'll be done. First Thessalonians 1:8-9, talking about establishing a church here. For from you sounded the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we have unto you, and how you turn to God from idols, how you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, didn't it? Come out of our old, wicked, sinful, ugly, nasty ways, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In both the letters, in 1st and 2nd, Paul speaks quite frequently about the coming of the Lord. And he led many of the Jews and Greeks to Christ and taught them as well a lot of the doctrines of the Christian faith, such as certainly being thankful for your faith, thankful that you are saved, and to encourage and exhort the folks that undergo a hard time, so to speak, suffering and suffering persecution, and also the doctrine of just keep working, continue to work to Jesus comes back to get us, anyway. The word of the Lord.